In Proverbs chapter 23 this evening, let us read verse 22 and verse 23. I'm really going to focus in on verse 23 tonight. I debated about finishing a chapter. We'll do that next week. But notice verse 22 and 23. I'm taking the title from verse 23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." He said in verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." Father, we thank you for this privilege this evening that you've given to us to assemble together. Lord, we ask your blessings upon our time together. We pray, Lord, for your blessings to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. Lord, as we come to these verses tonight, we pray for thy guidance and thy leading. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last time we met, we were in verse 20 and 21, titled that Drunkenness and Gluttony. And we want to see here in our text tonight the high cost of truth. But first of all, verse 22, let me read this again. Now we'll pick up this subject as we get to next week in verse 24, 25, 26, 27. But he says here in verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Now this is a continual theme that we see throughout the book of Proverbs and really the Bible, dealing with family relations, children to parents and parents to children. Already, again, in this chapter, verse 13 and verse 14, is dealing with the family, and verse 19, again, "Hear thou my son," and also verse 15, "My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." And then again, as I just mentioned, verse 24, 25, and 26, we'll take our title next week from verse 26, and we'll title it, "Give Me Thine Heart," and we'll probably finish the chapter, because verse 29 through verse 35 is on the subject of drunkenness, as we've already covered in verse 20 and 21. Now notice, coming to verse 23, he says here, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." We find here that as we come to this passage, And we'll, by the way, in our Sunday night series in 2 Timothy, in just a matter of weeks, we'll be in 2 Timothy 2:15, and where we're told there to rightly divide the word of truth. And so we'll be back on this subject in a matter of weeks, but we'll come at it from a different angle then. But he says here, the first thing that we find here in verse 23 is "buy the truth." Now we know that salvation is free. It's a free gift that God gives to us. But when it comes to just truth, we're told many things throughout the scriptures about the truth. But he says here, "buy the truth." That means to purchase it, to acquire it, to make every effort that we can to get it. And I put on the back of the article John Huss's statement. He said, "Seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, abide by the truth, and defend the truth unto death." And another writer had made this statement. He said, "All I want to know is, has God spoken, and what has he said?" And that's sort of what we see here in our text. The text shows us that truth comes at a cost. In other words, after we become a Christian, we have to make sacrifices and spare no pain in getting truth. As a matter of fact, as we consider this, we find that we have to spend time, amen, do we not? We have to spend time reading and studying. We spend our money a lot of times. You spent money just coming to church here, you know, tonight. We make effort, we spend our energy when we want truth and we desire it. We have to work for it. 2 Timothy 2:15 speaks about a workman studying the Word of God and being a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We have to pray. We have to strive. We have to review and revisit our beliefs. Do you not have to do that? I have to do that. I have to make sure, when we talk about truth, make sure that it's not just our opinions. And so we review our beliefs. Every time I go and preach on the subject, I kind of study it again. It doesn't matter. I could preach on justification or regeneration or anything like that, reconciliation. I'll go back and kind of, even though I've preached on it a number of times and some of them written on it, I'll go back and kind of look at it and say, have I really got this right? Have I missed anything? And so it takes time, giving up sometimes comfort. Sometimes it costs friendship and so forth. We're walking contrary to the world's philosophy. And so he speaks here of buying the truth, buying the truth. Again, this text shows that it comes at a cost. Notice the other statement that he makes here in our passage, and we're going to run some references, especially in the book of John, in a few moments on truth. But here in he says, buy the truth. And then the second thing he says is, sell it not. In other words, truth can be sold. It can be gained and it can be lost. It can be given up. We're prone to wonder, as the psalm, one of the hymns tell us. And it can be sold through many ways. Can be sold through compromise, which that happens a lot. Many temptations that come at us can cause us to slack up or give up on things. Covetousness. I've seen people just because of trying to maintain maybe peace in their family or whatever. We're just not going to believe this. We're not going to go this route. I've seen people because of romance fall in love with someone who does not love the truth. And you know who's going to end up compromising in that situation. And so what he's telling us here in this passage, don't give it up, don't ignore it, and don't be reasoned out of it. There's many, within the last week I've had a few try this, there's many that will try to reason us out of the truth. And they'll come at you from every, just like in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil came to Eve. And so he says here in our passage, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. Then he said also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. This second clause with these three things, they accompany truth. In other words, as we accept the truth and embrace the truth, when we buy the truth, as it says here, these are the things that come along with it. And all three of these words, if you are taking notes, they're written down in chapter 1 and verse 2. We find them all through the book of Proverbs. We find them all through the Old and New Testament. So these three things, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, they come along with truth as we embrace it and believe it and accept it. Wisdom is truth and knowledge put into practice. In other words, it's just what we know, the truth that we know, the facts that we have. Wisdom is putting that into everyday life. Then instruction has the ideal of discipline and training to receive advice and heeding to the teaching of truth. And then the word understanding here has the ideal of discernment. It is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong and good and evil. And again, these things will come to us as we embrace and accept the truth, as we buy the truth. It comes at a cost. Salvation is a free gift, but when it comes to the truth of God's Word, we all have to make an effort. We have to make an effort to do that. We have to pray. We have to study. We have to dig. We have to strive. We'll spend our time and our money and our effort and those kind of things in purchasing truth. Now, I want to turn away from this passage, and you can turn loose of it, and come with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I'm going to use an example here, and Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, this whole chapter is dealing with faith. Let's read verse 6, and then we'll come down to Moses and a few others. Notice with me as we read in verse 11, he says here in verse 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must have faith. And so we're talking about the truth. Now notice as we come down to verse 24. I want to read verses 24 through 29. And we'll find that Moses chose the right riches, and he never sold them. He bought the truth. And there's some things he embraced, and there's some things he turned loose of. As we began reading in verse 24, he said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And just in your mind, just think of the advantages he would have if he had stayed there and continued to be considered as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he looked to the end instead of the now. He looked ahead and what this would bring. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Then he said in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And then we find in verse 29 that as they passed through the Red Sea, as he led the children of Israel out. Notice again, verse 35, in verse 35. Now we find that as we read in Revelation 3, if you're taking notes in verse 18, the Lord counsels the church of Laodicea to buy gold of him, to buy truth of him. In other words, spiritually speaking, they were in trouble. The church was in trouble. And they were blind, they were naked, they were miserable spiritually speaking, and they felt like that they were doing well and they were okay. And so he basically is telling them to buy the truth. Here in verse 35 through about verse 39, we see some people who are not named. There's many like Moses and Abraham and Abel and others that are named in chapter 11. There were great things that they did. But verse 35 through 39, we see here some that are not named, but we see that they were willing to embrace the truth, and they're willing to buy it and not sell it. Sort of like in verse 13, said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So notice as we read in verse 35, he says, women received their dead raised to life again. Then he mentions others. You see, there are those that fought battles and won great victories, but there were others. Notice what he said about them. He said, and others were tortured. Notice not accepting deliverance. In other words, the truth was not for sale. And he said that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, he said, of whom the world was not worthy. That's what God says about them. And he says, and they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And here's what we find in verse 39. And these all, we also find this statement in verse 2 about this good report. But he said, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. Those promises, they'll get them in resurrection. So they were looking forward and not just what's going on around them now. And so we see those who bought the truth, and even though they were persecuted, they would not sell the truth. They would not compromise in any way. Amen. Now notice as we come to the book of John, and we will read a few verses here, we'll stay in this book. In John 18, a familiar passage, well, all these will be familiar to you, but notice in John chapter 18. Now we say, what is truth? Truth is the opposite of a lie. It is that which is reliable and can be trusted. It is in harmony with honesty and loyalty and justice. And we find here, as we read from John 18 in verse 36, truth can only be found in Holy Scripture. And it is that which is consistent with the mind and the will of God. And there's much more we could say about it, but that's what we find. John 1:17 tells us that truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, we find that the full and complete and final revelation of God was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 36, Jesus is standing before Pilate. And in verse 36, and Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That's what we're talking about tonight. He said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault at all. But when we get into chapter 19, his wife had given him some warning, according, I think it's written in Matthew, and that this is a just man. But he still had him scourged, and the soldiers mocked him, and then they turned him over to be crucified. So Pilate did not really want truth, but he said, what is truth? The Lord showed him and told him what was truth. Now turn with me, please, to a very familiar passage, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we find in verse 6, most of you can quote this, but I want to read this and two other verses. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and the life rather, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now again, we find that the full and complete and final revelation of God is revealed in Christ. Hebrews 1:2 clearly bears that out. And notice now, we find here that Jesus is referred to, or calls himself the truth. Notice also the Spirit is truth. We find in verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17. He says here, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we find that the Lord Jesus referred to himself as the truth. We find that the Spirit of God here is referred to as truth, and also in chapter 15 and 16. The Spirit only speaks of what's in the Word of God because it is the author of the Word of God, the Holy Scripture, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. So we find that Jesus is the truth, the Spirit is truth, and also notice in John 17, the Word of God is referred to as the truth. John 17, verse 16 and 17, John 17, verse 16 and 17, he said, "They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So we find, again, Jesus, the Spirit, and the Word of God is the truth. And we're sanctified by the truth. And that's why we're told to buy the truth and sell it not, and the other things will come with it. The wisdom and the instruction and the understanding will come with that as we embrace it, as we purchase it. Notice with me also in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, this is the Samaritan woman at the well. And I'll begin reading in verse 20. In verse 20, we also find in John 8, verse 30 through 36, and then in verse 41 through 47, we find that the truth brings freedom. It said, "The truth shall make you free." And the Jews told the Lord Jesus they were not in bondage. And in the first century, they were not only in bondage to sin that he dealt with, but they were in bondage to apostate Judaism. They were also in bondage to Rome. So they were in bondage in a number of different ways. And in that chapter, he's speaking to them about the truth. And he speaks of them that the Son shall make you free. Verse 36, "You shall be free indeed." He speaks to them. He speaks of they were of their father, the devil, in verse 44, who abode not in the truth. Then he said in verse, he mentions truth again in verse 45, 46, and verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." So we find that the truth will make us free. It'll free our soul so that we can serve the Lord and have peace in our hearts. Amen. But notice here in John chapter 4, in John chapter 4, he says here in this passage, I'm going to begin reading verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Of course, this woman received him from verse 25 through verse 42, received him as Savior, as the Messiah, and she went back in to the other Samaritans and told of the Lord Jesus. They came and met him, many of them, and they accepted him as well. But I read this because of verse 23 and in verse 24. We find here that worship, think about this, must be in spirit and truth. So like Jesus telling Nicodemus that except a man be born again, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, we must be born again. And so here we find that our worship, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and you hear people talk about different things and so forth, worship and different churches and what they're doing and the directions that many churches are going. But he said that our worship, if we're going to worship God, must be in spirit and in truth. Now the spirit, I believe, is dealing with two things really here. The spirit obviously is the Holy Spirit. Now it's dealing with regeneration, and through regeneration, the Holy Spirit enables our spirit to worship. But then the truth here is the Word of God. So the Scriptures govern our way of worship. We can't just do anything that we want to do. And there's some examples of this. Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, you read about him, I think, three different times in the New Testament. Here, one is in Hebrews chapter 11. And Cain's worship was rejected by God, but it sure looked good. Probably looked better than Abel's sacrifice and his worship that he brought, as far as man is concerned. But God required a sacrifice, and he brought the fruit of his harvest, the ground. And God had told him, give him a time to worship, a place to worship, and how that they would come and worship. And we find that he accepted Abel. Abel's mentioned in Hebrews 11, in the same verse that Cain was rejected. And but the thing is that we cannot just do anything that we want to do. That's why we have to buy the truth. We read it, we study it, we pray, we listen to it, and we come to conclusions about how to worship from that. And so Cain's worship was rejected, even though it would look good, even in our own eyes, if we saw him, what he brought before the Lord. Another man in 2 Chronicles 26, Uzziah, a king, and that'll be in verse 16 through 21, his worship was rejected because he was a king and he went in to burn incense and improper worship, and the priest had to stop him, and immediately he was smitten with leprosy for the rest of his life. For one act. The king was very prosperous and had done many things, you know, for the nation of Israel, but this one act, he was worshiping God improperly. This is why we find in 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6, the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. And so it's interesting that John, he gives us the Gospel of John, the three epistles, the book of Revelation, and truth is used of John about 42 times in this gospel and also in his three epistles. It's used many, many times by him. Well, turn with me, please, to 2 Peter, and we'll close here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I just thought of another passage that I want to read. 2 Peter chapter 1, and if you're taking notes, John 7, verse 14 through 17, we find that Christ's doctrine was of divine origin from the Father. But notice as we come here, we'll close here. See, when we think about the Bible itself, we have the Bible in our hands here tonight because of the sweat and blood of our forefathers. We should never forget that. Those that bought the truth and refused to sell it, we have a Bible in our hand tonight because of that. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That somebody is willing. It's a wonderful thing not only that Christ died, but that someone like the Apostle Paul and Peter, he gave us two letters, Paul gave us about 14 letters. They gave their life that we could have the Word of God. Then down through the centuries, down through church history, the translating of the Bibles into different languages, especially with us in the English language, this book didn't come about easily. Right. And there were many that died over producing the Scripture. Right. Well, notice one verse. This is Peter's last epistle. He's speaking of his death. I'm in chapter 1, 2 Peter. He's speaking of his death. And verses 14 and 15. But notice as we read in verse 12, in verse 12, he said this. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. The present truth here speaks of the gospel It speaks of the doctrine of Christ, the apostles' doctrine. And he's speaking, he said, the present truth is what they had in their possession, what the Lord had given to the apostles and the apostles had given to them. And so he's saying that we all need to be established in the present truth. And that's so important that we understand that. So we're to buy the truth and sell it not. We're to buy it and sell it not. I was thinking about this week, and this is not to be critical. You get accused of judging so many times, but had another country music star to die this week that I had to preach on country music in 2011. How many years has that been? 12 or something like that? Something like that. The one that died last year, that was supposed to have been when he died, worth about $1 billion, I made mention to you, from this area. The one that died this week, I think, was probably worth about $700 or $800 million. And I was just thinking about, it kind of brought me back to the sermons, and I know I used one of these, the one I'm going to mention, but I think I used both of these in the sermon with country music. But one of the one that just died made a lot of money leading people to hell through his music. And he would talk about God, and he would talk about praying, even about the songs he wrote, and much of his songs was about drunkenness, immorality, fighting, and filth. That his songs were filled with that. His music videos are filled with this trash. And here's what's interesting, is that the oppositions that I usually get when I speak on things like that is usually not from the lost. It's usually from those who profess Christ. I didn't say they were saved. That's between them and God. But it's usually in the professing Christian community that you'll get the opposition. Those that are lost know what their music's all about. You know, and those that are lost know that, they don't mind that it's about drinking and things of that nature and immorality and whatever, because many participate in that. But anyway, we are told to buy the truth and sell it not. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you this evening for, Lord, this time that you've given us. We pray your blessings upon the remaining of the service. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church, that our goal in life will be buying the truth and selling it not. Lord, we can pray for thy grace and mercy in this. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.